Well, greetings to you this morning, this beautiful spring morning as the sun was coming up and as we were singing this morning about creation and all of the glory going to Jesus for who he is and how great he is. I love the passage that was read just now and then earlier at the opening of the service from the Psalter, from David, who was writing, "My soul pants for the Lord, as a deer pants for living water, so my soul pants, longs for the living God." I want us to spend some time speaking this morning a little bit about that passion to seek the face of our Lord. But before I go any further, I want to say thank you to you, the body of Christ here in St. John's, for your generous support and special gifts for the Help Ukraine Fund that provided generators and wood and stoves for many churches in Ukraine. We were sharing earlier in the Sunday school hour about over 600 projects that have been supported through churches like yourselves to churches in Ukraine. So thank you for that. These generators that you helped to purchase, the pastors, with tears in their eyes, say thank you. Say thank you to the believers back in the West, in the States, who are praying for us. Believe it or not, winter has finished in Ukraine, and we're moving into spring over there, just like you are here, but we're already thinking about next winter. Already 80% of the electrical infrastructure has been damaged severely or destroyed. So the winter to come is already in hot conversation. What do we do? And many are saying, thank you. Praise the Lord for our generators that we continue and they continue to use to keep their churches moving and ministering the hope of Christ to many who are hearing the gospel clearly explained to them in many ways for the first time in their lives as they are forced to move from their homes and move across into western parts of Ukraine. Well, I invite you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17, and we're going to start with verse 11. And as I mentioned earlier, I want to talk about our passions, our desires, what drives us, and what is our ultimate purpose in longing for life. And I want to focus it on a very simple question. Who is Jesus for you? Who is Jesus for you? As we will see in a moment, a very familiar passage that you probably heard taught to you in Sunday school. Or if you're not familiar with the church, maybe you've heard this shared with you. Or maybe you've read it before in the past. It's a story about 10 lepers who come to Christ with a very important question and request for healing. And we see two different reactions. And I want us to focus in on those reactions and what it is the Lord will have us see today. There are two categories of people in this world. And Luke is helping us to see those categories. Those who see Jesus as a means to try to manage life and their dreams for themselves. And those who see Jesus as himself the greater blessing. They see him not as a means, but as a source of life. And are wanting to follow him in order to satisfy their souls. Nothing seems to press this question more, the question of who is Jesus or God for you, than when we are experiencing difficulty and uncertainty in our lives. And we long to call out for help. So let's look at this passage. I'll read it very briefly and then we'll move on. Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." Familiar passage. And what we see, I think, first of all, and Luke is wanting us to see this, is how these lepers are doing many things that are right. It's a very short story, but we can see a lot just in a few words. It starts with saying that the lepers stood at a distance and called out to Jesus. What they did right, their actions and their reactions. These lepers understood their condition. Leprosy, or in our modern terms, Hansen disease, attacks the nerve endings of the body, causing a lack of feeling and damage to inner tissues, thus resulting in sores and disfigurement, even to the point of the loss of extremities and even death. It's a terrible disease, and in the first century, a very mysterious one. There was no cure. It's not surprising that throughout the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, the prophets pointed to this disease as an illustration of the condition of man under sin. Sin is also debilitating. At first, it appears to only attack the surface. It seems insignificant, but it affects us deeply and causes damage to us beyond our ability to understand. It's no surprise that in their prophetic teachings that they would refer to this, the spiritual disease of sin. Jeremiah in chapter 17 writes, "The heart, the innermost part of man, is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The Lord searches the heart and tests the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." Who can understand it? The Lord can understand it. And he knows how deep the problem goes. Isaiah 64 also referred to this. He says, "We have all become like one who is unclean." Again, the picture of a leprous person appears. "And all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, and we like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind has taken us away." People with leprosy were looked on as dead in Numbers chapter 12. It was like the living dead for the people of Israel. They were isolated. They were set apart. And their condition indeed took them away from others. Their very clothes were fit for only one thing, for the fire. Leviticus chapter 13. Leprosy is a picture of ourselves away from God. Like sin, leprosy is deeper than the skin and cannot be helped by mere surface measures. Like sin, leprosy spreads, and as it spreads, it defiles. So how important it is for us as lost sinners to trust Christ and get rid of our leprosy, our sin. The text says they stood at a distance and called with a loud voice. They knew that they were in a very difficult position. They knew that life was hopeless for them. And they understood that Jesus, in some way or another, was the answer. The word teacher here means more than somebody who instructs. but somebody who has power to direct. A master, the Lord. And so they cried out, "Have mercy on us." And as we just read, Jesus says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And so they went. And it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, we don't hear or we don't read anything more about what was happening with these men. But it doesn't need to. We can easily imagine what they must have felt in that moment when they realized that they were cleansed, that they were healed. I'm sure that their hearts erupted with joy. And they looked at one another. Wait a minute. Well, look at that. Didn't you just have... Your complexion is different. Well, it's on you too. Wait a minute. We're healed. And immediately their thoughts began racing. And perhaps they even began to increase their pace. To run to the priests. Life was returning. Their relationships were now coming into view. The work and the pursuits that they had before they got sick were now suddenly coming front and center. Wow. I'm sure that they were jubilant and congratulating one another and full of joy. That's not hard to imagine. But here we see something happening different with one of the 10 lepers. The text says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, went back. Here I would like us to just stop for a moment and ask ourselves the question, why would he do that? What is motivating him to slow down in this rapidly increasing pace to return to the life of blessing that he understood before he got sick and to go back? And of course we know the answer. It is Jesus. There's a story of a store owner in the Deep South after World War II who, because of the war and the situation, the economic situation in his city and his town, there were lots of children who were going hungry and they didn't have the food that they needed. He was a grocery store owner, and so he sent out invitations and he invited all the kids of the neighborhood to the front of his store. And before he let anyone in, the kids crowded around and he gave each one a bag and he said, "Okay, kids, listen up. I'm going to open these doors and I'm going to let you into my store with your bag. And you can go up and down the aisles and pick anything you want. Put it in your bag. You can pick several things. As long as it fits in your bag, you can take it home." "Hurrah!" The kids were shouting. He opened the doors and they crowded in and they started running up and down the aisles. One boy just stood there. And he looked at the store owner. And the store owner looked back at him and he said, "Well, okay, go, pick." And the boy looked up and pushed his bottom lip out and said, "I pick you." Isn't that amazing? What a smart kid. That's exactly what is happening in this passage with this Samaritan leper. He's realizing the giver of the gifts. He's realizing who God is in his life. God is not just a means to some blessing. God is himself the blessing. And he's saying, "I pick you, Jesus." It says in the passage that he turned around and began praising God in a loud voice and then threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. What did the lepers receive? 9 received physical healing and a second chance at life. One received physical healing and a changed heart and a life of spiritual healing. This is a moment when we want to stop and just ask ourselves the question, how many times in our lives has God not answered our prayers? How many times has he not granted us the things that we so desperately longed for and needed? And how many times were we thankful the way we ought to be to him? I'm sure that the other nine lepers, if you ask them the question, are you thankful? Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, yeah, God did something. But something didn't happen in their hearts that moved them to seek the face of God, to seek the store owner, and to put themselves at his feet. We're learning as we work in Ukraine to be thankful. We're learning to be thankful for the little things, for electricity, for heat, for water. We get up each morning, and if there aren't any air raid sirens that we've heard in the night, usually they come around 4 in the morning, and they continue for several hours, and sometimes we see the activity from our window. And we thank the Lord. We start our day with thanking the Lord for his protection, for his safety. And we thank the Lord for the lights that they turn on, because they don't always turn on. And more than that, not just thankfulness in our heart, but to share that joy with a loud voice to others, just as this Samaritan man did. I can imagine that he was, as others were running one direction, he was running the other direction and crying out and saying, the Lord did this. The Lord did this. Many people in Ukraine these days are meeting a fork in the road for their lives. Some, because of the difficulty, are choosing to sin. Life is short, and it seems to be getting shorter by the minute, and they're moving into sin. Others are choosing to seek the face of God. I was in a church. We were together in a church in south of Kyiv, about an hour and a half, churches that we had partnered with, but we hadn't seen for many, many months. It was Bielaya Tserkov, was the town and the city, and they had asked me to speak. And so in the morning service, as I got up to preach, I began sharing, and the air raid sirens went off. And for whatever reason, in Bielaya Tserkov, in that city, they were louder than they are in Kyiv. Really loud. And so I stopped preaching, and I just looked. Nobody moved. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll just keep preaching, but just louder. And so I did that. And finally, after about 30 minutes, I sat down, and about that time, the air raid sirens also shut down. And I thought to myself, well, maybe that was just a wash. I don't know how much they actually heard. But in time later in the service, 5 people walked forward and said, we too want to give our hearts to Christ. That I don't share because of the speaker, but because of the power of God's word that works in times when you think, this doesn't make sense. Nobody's listening. And yet God is speaking. And there are people who are seeking his face. And they need to hear. So the question to us today as believers, like this Samaritan, is, are we praising God with a loud voice about all the things that he has done in our lives? And are we letting people know about that? Putting all circumstances aside, because there are people listening. So the one leper received a changed heart. He also received a changed relationship. Of all these 10, only one had a personal conversation with Christ. And that was this leper, this cleansed Samaritan leper. It says in the text that he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Were there not another 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? What's happening here? Jesus is engaging directly and personally with this Samaritan man. And he in return. This is what happens at salvation. When we come to know Christ personally, we begin a relationship with God that is real. And we hear his voice. And we speak to him. We share with him. As our friend, as our Savior, as our Lord, and we submit to him at his feet, just like this Samaritan. This is the life of a true believer, of a Christian who is following Christ. Just after the war began, there were many people, millions of Ukrainians, literally, clamoring for the border on the western side of Ukraine to get into Romania, Moldova, Poland, and other Eastern European countries. Amongst those were also believers. Ruslan Sharinga is a dear pastor that we know, who after completing seminary training at Odessa Theological Seminary went to Central Asia with his family. They were missionaries there for a while and then came back to Odessa and were involved in a church plant. Ruslan was there at the border with his family and with his children, like everyone else, for good reason. And as they were sitting in the crowds, as they were moving closer to the border, he heard the Lord's voice. Turn back. And as Ruslan describes it, it was a feeling, he said, many of us understand exactly what he's talking about, but those times when the Lord is speaking to you to do exactly what everyone is not doing, what maybe conventional wisdom would tell you not to do. And finally he turned to his wife and he said, I got to go back. And so he kissed his children and his wife goodbye, sent them across the border and returned. And now he's leading his church association in church planting. And they just had a missions conference, literally the end of February, before we left to come back here to the States. A wonderful testimony of faith in action. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice and follow me. Do you hear God's voice in your life? Do you hear him speaking to you as he spoke to this Samaritan man, asking you questions, dialoguing with you through his word, and you responding, saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you. You are my master. You are my Savior. This is the life of relationship with Christ. The Samaritan experienced not only physical healing, but also spiritual healing. At the end of this passage, we see Jesus saying to the Samaritan, then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. That's the NIV. It's It could be a little bit clearer, the translation. Rise and go, your faith has saved you, literally, is what it says. It's the exact same phrase that we find in Luke chapter 7, verse 50, when Jesus is talking to the sinful woman who came to him. Jesus was reclining at the table of a Pharisee in his home, and a woman from the city, it says in chapter 7. Everyone knew who she was. A woman from the city came, and she began weeping and crying and washing Jesus' feet with her tears. And she had an alabaster flask of oil that filled the room with fragrance. And the Pharisees were shocked. What is Jesus doing receiving this sinful woman? And then Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And then they were really shocked. Who could forgive sins except God? And he said to the woman, go, your faith has saved you. The exact same phrase that he says to the Samaritan here in this passage. This is a salvation moment. This is a moment of decision where the heart that has been gripped with the reality of sin and the destruction that that sin is causing in their life is coming to Jesus and falling completely at his feet and saying, Lord, save me. My allegiance is to you and you alone. And there's nothing more precious in life but you. This is what happened to the Samaritan. This is what happened to the woman. What about you this morning? Have you ever prayed a prayer, a desperate prayer to God, and he answered it? And what was your reaction? Oh, you might be saying, well, sure, you know, I believe in God. I pray to him, and you know, he's answered some prayers. And I'm grateful. I really am. But here's the question. Did that event in your life cause you to turn around? To make the pursuits that you were doing at that moment less important, and the pursuit of Jesus and the pursuit of God and a relationship with him as more important? That's what happened with the Samaritan, and that's what we need to have happen with ourselves. That we would find Jesus, and that we would find that he is enough for us no matter what happens. Would you stand with me and we'll spend some time in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, Jesus, we confess that there are many times in our lives when we do not understand the depths of our hearts and the passions that keep flowing from our hearts. Help us to focus those passions upon you. Forgive us, Lord, for times when we have not been thankful enough. Forgive us, Lord, for times for when we have not allowed this thankful spirit to be the gateway to more faith in you and seeking your face. We ask, Lord, change us, change our hearts. Make us the kind of people you want us to be. Because we know in this is the greatest blessing of all. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.